This is KRCU's Going Public. I'm Dan Woods. Today we'll spend our half hour with the authors of the new book, Seth, The Life and Journey of General Seth Jefferson McKee. McKee grew up in southeast Missouri and rose from a rural farm boy to become one of America's most highly decorated members of the United States Air Force. I spoke with Jerry Ford, educator, legislator, businessman, and musician. He has authored articles on regional history, including two books. And Dr. Frank Nickel, Associate Professor Emeritus of History at Southeast Missouri State University. He directed the Center for Regional History, through which he edited and published approximately 25 books about the region, conducted many oral interviews, and produced a series of historical podcasts titled Almost Yesterday, which you can hear Wednesdays here on KRCU. I spoke with him on the television program SE Connect. Gentlemen, good to see you both.
Thank you. It's nice to be here.
So I want to speak. Had a lot of time to talk about General McKee, and I want to start with how the book came about, Jerry. So how did the idea to write this book begin?
Well, it kind of happened by accident. I was out with my friend Dewey Shoddy in Phoenix with Wynton Marsalis, you know, one of the great trumpet players.
Yeah.
And so I called Seth. I'd known him and had been with him on previous occasions a little bit. Let's have lunch. So we went and had lunch with him, and we thought it would be a lunch, and it ended up 4 hours of the most fabulous historical events of his life. And so when I got back here, I happened to run into Frank, and I said, you know, the other day I was at Phoenix and just had a great time with Seth McKee and learned all about two or three wars and six or seven presidents that he served under, and it was really a fabulous day. And Frank said, you know, I don't think a book's ever been written about him as a four-star general. And I said, well, then let's do it. That's how it happened, that quick. I mean, we just decided if nobody else has done it, it needs to be done.
And so, Frank, why hadn't there been a book written about General McKee up to this point?
I think the fact that he was from a small town, from a small college, he wasn't from West Point, and he had never sought publicity as such. He was always a subdued individual, quiet, thoughtful, man of action, but not a seeker of recognition or publicity. So he never went out looking for someone to tell his story. So his story was not told. A lot of people did not know who he was, and many people in Cape Girardeau had never heard of him. We discovered that, I think, when put the book together and started interviewing people. So I think that he was just one who had sort of slipped through the crack, as they would say, and we just kind of missed him. He's an interesting individual. He has national and international significance. He's a young man from Southeast Missouri. He needs recognition. That's why Jerry and I decided to go ahead and put this book together.
You got the book in three sections, and I kind of want to break it into our discussion into those sections. So first, I guess his early life and memories and military service, and then I guess about the family. So let's start. He was born in Arkansas, right?
Right.
Jerry?
McGehee, Arkansas. His dad was a railroader, so they traveled and had to move around a lot. And they ultimately ended up in Whitewater, Gardenville, right around here, and he went to Cape Central, went to SEMO for 3 years, and like you say, he was just a kid out on a farm, and really people just didn't know him.
And when I asked you why this hadn't been written and why people around here didn't know, I guess after he graduated from SEMO, he left.
He actually was only there 3 years.
Okay.
Then he went to University of Oklahoma to wrestle. But once he left SEMO, he was gone. Now, his family was still around. His brother, Pat McKee, was an educator here for many years. A couple of sister-in-laws and a lot of nieces and nephews still live here. But himself, once he left, he was gone and lived his entire life in the military.
That would explain why folks around here maybe didn't know about him, Frank.
Yes.
And was his aspiration always to go into military service?
No, he wanted to be a baby doctor. He was interviewed in Oklahoma, and they asked him what he wanted to do, and he tried to think of the word pediatrician, but he couldn't think of it. So he said, I want to be a baby doctor. And that was his goal, and he always thought about that. Important to recognize that at a very young age, he decided he was going to do something professional. He was going to be a man of achievement, and he wanted to move beyond where he was. He didn't want to stay in Southeast Missouri as a farmer. He wanted to move on. So he was ambitious. He had a vision. He had motivation to achieve. And he did that, but in an unexpected position. He never expected to go into the military until he got into the National Guard to help with a few college expenses. And he saw on the ground some pilots in the air with scarves around their neck and open air cockpits in the 1930s. And he thought that was really dashing. He thought that was romantic. He thought that was adventuresome. And so he then sort of backed into a military career and certainly made the most of it.
One of the things I when I was doing a little research trying to learn about him, when Dwight Eisenhower was coming up, one of the big influences on his life was his mother. Who was there a person in McKee's life, Jerry, that was a big influence early on?
Well, his mother and father, but of course there's not written a whole lot about them because it's been so long ago. The family was religious. They were tight-knit. They did everything together. They always had all three meals together. And yet today, the three sons and Sally, who's in her middle 90s, sharp as a tack, they're still very close. They talk almost every day. And so family, the family unit was extremely important and still is.
What else was unique about his early years, Frank? Anything else that stood out in the research?
I think he was a hard worker. And his mother and father instilled a discipline in him that stayed with him through his life. He said he always had the motivation to plow the straightest furrow in the field. He plowed the straightest corn cultivation row. He always wanted to do the best. And he said, if you try to meet the level of competition of your peers, and then you accelerate that and try to go a bit above your peers, and you keep doing that, step by step through your life, you will achieve. And that was a guiding principle. And he believed that, I think, to the last breath he took.
Here's a little quote. We have several quotes of his throughout the book, but talking about his young years and the discipline. He said, I learned hard work and moral ethics on the farm, cultivating 25 acres with one plow and a pair of mules for several weeks taught you to finish the job. So it's little things like that on the farm that he relates through the book as to things that happened as to why he was successful.
And on the farm at that particular time, you did not work from 7 o'clock to 6 o'clock or 5 o'clock.
Oh, no.
You worked from beginning to the end
the
of the task.
Yeah.
Right.
And so you were trained and disciplined as Seth was. He was the oldest child in a large family. And so he had to set the standard, and his mother and father set the standard for him. He then educated the youngsters, the rest of the youngsters in the family.
He was very driven, wasn't he?
Yes.
Let's talk about his military career a little bit. So some of the notes that you sent me and some of the research I did, so he participated in the development of Army Air Corps to our modern-day Air Force. Didn't he fly almost every plane, I think?
Every one. Every single plane, over 8,000 hours. And he was there and helped develop the Air Force as we know it today, from its very beginning.
When you think about what he did, he started out in open-air one single engine cockpit planes, open cockpits with one engine. And he ended with radar, with NORAD, with jet engines. and the most advanced technology that the military had accumulated through World War I, Vietnam, Korea, all of our military actions. So he saw the development of the U.S. Air Force from the Army Air Corps, where he started, to today's modern military defense based upon air power.
I guess it's fair to say he had a huge influence on the Air Force that we know today, right,
Jerry? Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Let's talk a little bit about one of the planes he flew. I read a little bit about the P-38. It said the Germans called it the fork-tailed devil, is what they called it, but they weren't familiar with this plane, and it did right. A lot of little damage to their Air Force.
Yeah.
But he was proficient in that plane as well, right?
He certainly was. He led a squadron of P-38s on June 6, 1944, D-Day, in the air. That was the fastest plane the U.S. Air Force, the Army Air Corps had, the U.S. Air Force later. The P-38 was the just go-to plane for getting something done. It was the fastest plane in the Air Force. Had double fuselage, wide wings. And when it traveled, it made a strange noise. Everyone recognized it.
Okay.
And it was so fast, and it was just the epitome of what the Air Force wanted to be and what every pilot wanted to fly. And Seth wanted to fly the P-38. He thought that that was just almost a magical experience. And he was dashing, he was daring, but he was really solid and had great skill.
He
had more skill than almost any other pilot.
Actually, he had a 2010 eyesight, and he was one of the few in the 30s that even passed the physicals. I said, 2010, I said, I had 2020, I've never heard of 2010, and he laughed. He said, I can see twice as far as you can. And so that
would be helpful when you're flying.
That helped when you're flying. He had two swastikas on the plane that he called My Gal Sal.
I noticed that.
Okay.
In the picture, yeah.
That's his wife, Sally.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, he says he had four. He said, I got credit for two because someone had to see you in battle and see the plane go. He said, I had two more, but I didn't get credit for it. But I know because I followed the bastards down. Saw him hit the water.
So he knew he had actually four.
So, yeah.
So he was quite the pilot. When I read, he was one of the best ones that there was,
oh, yeah.
And very accomplished
yeah.
in that
he
regard.
He was very accomplished.
He called himself the best pilot in the service.
And his sons, all three became lieutenant colonels. All three became jet pilots. They always said that their father was the best pilot in the whole bunch.
Today we're talking with Frank Nichol and Jerry Ford, authors of the new book, Seth, The Life and Journey of General Seth Jefferson McKee. We continue our conversation. We were telling stories when we were on commercial break. So tell the story you were just talking about, Jerry.
The book is filled with different unusual stories of Seth as a pilot during World War II. Well, on this one, they'd been out and got beat up and shot up, and one of them coming back had caught fire, and Seth told him to, bail out, which he did. And Seth said, I thought he'd never see him again. Several months later, the guy walked into his office, said, reporting for duty. And Seth said, where in the world have you been? He said, you won't believe it, but when I bailed out, I landed in the front yard of the German high command. And it's taken me 2 months to escape and get back to the lines and come back. Reporting for duty, sir.
I bet there's a lot of stories like that.
Many stories of that sort.
Yeah.
So he had a long career, so
yeah.
Many opportunities to meet people. And he met everyone who was prominent in the Air Force during World War II, Korea, and Vietnam. He just knew them all, and they knew of him. But it was a select group who were individuals who were in the military, so they were all internal stories. Mm-hmm. Now, what we're trying to do is externalizes, bring them on to the general public and make them aware that here in Cape Girardeau, right here in Southeast Missouri, we have one of the great heroes of World War II. We have one of the great military leaders of modern warfare from right here in Cape Girardeau. And Seth always said, well, you have to be Everyone has to be from somewhere. I just happen to be from Cape Girardeau, and he was always proud of that, and he always told people. His hometown was Cape Girardeau, Missouri, and he was very proud of that.
And he did come and visit the family regularly over the years. I got to throw this in before we finish. This is too good.
Okay.
And most importantly, he loved the Purple Crackle, Pagoda Gardens, and Chivas Regal.
Well, it's so a hometown boy who really just went to the highest ranks of the military, served under, what, six presidents?
Yes.
Six presidents.
Was he involved? I mean, he was involved, I'm sure, in some major decisions militarily over the years, right?
Oh, sure.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
He was, of course, the Pueblo, USS Pueblo. He was right in the middle of that. You want to talk about that a minute?
The Pueblo was seized by the North Koreans, okay. And they still hold it, and they keep it as a captive vessel that they use to talk about the evils of democracy and capitalism and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
But he was the commander of the Pacific, and when the Pueblo was seized, it was late in the day in the Pacific, and everybody is going home from their office assignments and so forth, and so Seth is the guy who's right on the spot. He's in the command seat, and he couldn't get anybody, couldn't raise anybody to tell him what was going on. One of our ships has been seized by the North Koreans. It's a great violation. We need to do something. And he wanted to go after them right now. He said he was going to bring all the bombs in, all the planes in, and he was going to make the North Koreans pay. He did not. It got dark. The pilot said this is not the time to do this kind of thing. And so he said, okay, first thing in the morning. Well, by morning, everyone had become aware of what had happened, and they called the attack off.
It was Johnson, wasn't it?
President Johnson said, if we hadn't have done that, Seth would have started World War III, and he would probably have won. But Seth was a go-get-em kind of fellow. He was determined. He was not going to back down the U.S. military from anyone who challenged us if he thought the cause was just. Mm-hmm. And he believed at this time that this was a penetration of American military priority.
So at that time, he was MacArthur 10 years after right. MacArthur. He was ahead of all the Far East.
Very knowledgeable, very aware, and he backed down from assaulting the North Koreans. A very touchy point
yeah.
in American military history.
Yeah.
And the North Koreans still have the USS Pueblo. Huh. Most Americans are unaware of that.
I didn't know
it's that. In North Korean waters.
Before we have some time left before we run out of here, let's talk about the family. So tell me, Jerry, how important and how close-knit is family.
It's everything. Seth, towards the end of his life, he said, my proudest accomplishments were as husband, father, grandfather, and great-grandfather. After all, he's honored by 26 different countries. It's just amazing all the things that he has and has done, but yet family is crucial. Family is the center of his life. Always was. Throughout all of his military, Sally was right there by his side, and the three boys.
What else would you say about the family, Frank? What else jumps out or spoke out to you when you were doing the research?
I think just the fact that they were so close, and they made a special effort to stay in contact with each other, always.
And they
talked on the phone on a regular basis. They respected each other. They had different careers. Although they were in the military, they came out and did different kinds of things. Yeah. But they all respected the other's decisions and the other's exploits. They're very proud of their family heritage. And so I think it's important to take a look at where they came from, the level of poverty. They lived on a small farm that they did not own, so they couldn't have had much money. I grew up on the same kind of thing, and I know We didn't have any money at all. Yeah. I assumed they were in the same boat. But they worked hard, and they all achieved. And they had great family pride in the fact that there was achievement in this family. Yeah. And they made it happen. They could have taken another choice. They did not.
We've been going public with Frank Nichol and Jerry Ford, authors of the new book, Seth, The Life and Journey of General Seth Jefferson McKee. If you have any comments about this or any program you've heard on KRCU, let us know what you think by emailing comments at krcu.org. To hear more interviews, visit krcu.org.